Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. In school, at our school, I don't know about any other school, but in our school, each day our students set a goal chart and they write down the plan for the day, whether they have 5 or 7 subjects. And each day they would, so for Wednesday's a half day, but they would take the number of pages that they were to complete before they even start it, and they set goals out. And then as they complete those goals, I know it's just a little thing, but they cross off the goals. Hey, that's quite rewarding when you get something accomplished. Say, oh, that's nothing. Yeah, but on Saturdays you make a little list for yourself around the house. And if you're anything like me, I've told you this before, but sometimes I write things that I've already done just to make me feel like I've accomplished something. Shower, done, you know. Breakfast, done. Read your Bible, done. You know, it's like, look at this stuff. And now they're all at the end of the list and crossed off, so it looks a little funny. But even still, I'm going to ask you what your goals are in life. What are your goals for your children? What's your plan? The kids come in into school, and school functions well because there's structure and because there's a schedule. They know what they're doing tomorrow, and they'll know what they're doing the next day, and they know where they're going, and they know where to point the direction of the... If they came in and their goals were to do 5 pages of math, and instead they said, you know what, today we're not going to do that. We're just going to... whatever else they want to do. Well, they wouldn't get their goals done. They would not meet their end goal either. You know, Christianity is kind of like that. Hey, if every day you just kind of wake up and say, well, I'm just going to see what life has to throw at me and I'll try and maneuver it the best way I can. It'd be better, wouldn't it, to have some goals? Wouldn't it be good if as a family or even as an individual, hey, where are you going? What are you pointed at? What are you trying to do? What's your lifelong goal? Hey, as a Christian, we ought to strive for maturity in the Lord. Just because you've been in the church house for 30 years doesn't make you mature. It's the decisions that you make. Now, you, and this isn't just for you, but I mean, even as we think about our children, what are we doing with our kids? Well, I just want them fed and healthy. If that's it, the world can do that. But as Christians, we should be guiding them in a direction. Today, my mother-in-law gave my son, Jonathan, he had a blueberry bush. And when they put the septic in, the new septic system, they cared nothing about that blueberry bush. And they just destroyed it. Joe came out the one day and it was just gone. So be careful. I'm just warning you, when you get septic systems, if you got anything of any value, lift it up. Well, today, my mother-in-law shows up with a blueberry bush for Joe. Well, he's excited, so immediately we have to go get in the car, go to Lowe's, and get 2 more. I don't know why he needs more than one. I don't know if there's a cross-pollination or whatever. And is it? Do you need more? Okay, great. So there he is. He's got 3 blueberry bushes. He's out there, and they're about, I don't know, they're about this high. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for them to grow. But eventually, there's going to be some fruit in there. Oh, I don't know what time of year it is. Claire, you know. When do blueberries come out? July. And there it is, July. The things the size of, I'm hoping ping pong balls, but probably not. Probably a little bit smaller than that. And we go over there and there will be 3 on them. And I'll eat one and they'll cut up the rest of them. I don't know. And or the deer will get them and we won't get them. Anyways, it takes time. He planted them today, watered them today. There he was with the hose, blanket in and get good soil in there. So is the Christian life. We start off on a path, but we're pointed in a direction. Just like seeds take time to grow, so does your growth in the Lord. We're reminded of 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You know, as parents, our job is to plant the seeds. Unfortunately, it's crazy to think, but a lot of the harvest we will not have part of. Say, why not? Because we might be gone by the time all the fruit of our children come. But we're still investing. We're still planting. We're still watering. Why? Because we know someday that's going to grow. And it's worthwhile. So what does a mature Christian look like? Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. As we look at these, and we're going to go through up to verse 14 tonight. As we look at this passage, it can get discouraging to see what a mature Christian looks like as you look at your life and go, oh, I don't have any of that. When Joe picked up the blueberry bush and the picture on the outside showed a very mature, very healthy, vibrant, bright blueberries, and he looks at his plant and goes, well, that's not what mine looks like. Yes, son, but this is what you're beginning with. And this is what we're pointed towards, and this is our goal. So be not discouraged. As we read through this passage, think beginnings, not final ends. It may help you and encourage you. Point number one, let us be sensitive to God's revealed will. It says there, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is a wisdom that gives a knowledge of God's will in the situations of life. Hey, there's something much greater than our own personal happiness in this life. There's a movement outside in the world that is, I don't want to say subtly creeping in, has creeped into the mentality of, well, Americans. It is a lack of fear of God. It is a lack of, it is what pleases me. And if I'm not happy with it, I ain't doing it. Well, you're going to greatly struggle with God's will. Because God's ways are different than your ways. And although we have Christians, and I'm not saying here, but the level of Christianity in America, although it is longevity, it is not mature. Why? Because if it doesn't please my flesh, I'm not doing it. We see this in, I'll say this, and I'm sorry to tread on these waters, but even in marriages today, if I'm not happy, I'm out. Well, that goes against what God says. God has a plan. God has a will. And we would do well. Hey, what's the difference between an immature Christian and a mature Christian? A mature Christian is sensitive to God's will. It's not about our own personal happiness. Let us remember Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Am I living for God's glory? Or are we living for our own personal pleasures? To know the principles of the Scriptures and how to apply them to our everyday life is to understand the will of God. Hold your hand here. We will be back here. But look at Psalm chapter number 25. Psalm 25, look at verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Hey, can we sincerely, honestly say that? God, I just want to know what you think about things. I just want to go in the direction that you're leading. Or is it, God, come here, let me show you where we're going. Are we really asking God to lead us into all truth? Look at verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, I like this verse. This helps me. Will he teach sinners in the way? Let me tell you what sin does to the spiritual walk. It messes up your vision. And God says, hey, I got to teach you some things about this. I got to teach sinners. That's us. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. A mature Christian is sensitive to God's revealed will. This is what you're to do. I'm 45 this June. I'll be saved 35 years. I've seen some things. I haven't seen everything, but I have seen some things. And I can tell you with all confidence, you go against God's will, it does not end well. God is merciful and gracious and forgiving. Don't get me wrong at all. But you go away from the Lord for a long extended period of time, and you will come back with scars. The path back is, it's direct, it's right there. But the time spent away is difficult. It's hard. I've talked to many young families over the years, and it was time to make the right decision for the things of God. And they said, we're just kind of comfortable where we're at. Fast forward 10 years, and the life is a mess. And they're coming to call in and saying, Pastor, we need help, we need help. And I say, 10 years ago, I told you what to do, and it's the same instruction. It's following God's way. A mature Christian will be sensitive to God's revealed will. Number two, in verse 10, it says this, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. A mature Christian in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 10 has some functional godliness, that ye walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Well, I walk with the Lord. I come to church. Hey, it's much more than just coming to church. Well, I don't do drugs. I got a good job, and I do well in school. Christianity is much more than just that. If that's the goal for your life, you are settling for much less than what God had planned for you. It says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Hey, just getting into the church house and just not being a drug addict or holding down a good job. Paul's got bigger expectations than that, right? And as does the Lord. God, and by his Spirit, can produce a desire to please the Lord in everything we do. And please do not settle for anything less than that. That's a mature Christian. To have functional godliness. In the same verse at the second half, an increasing in the knowledge of God, spiritual growth. Again, as I read earlier, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you know more about Jesus today than you did a month ago? What do you know more about Jesus today than a year ago? What have you learned about the Lord Jesus Christ in the last 10 years? Are you growing spiritually? I'll tell you, a lot of Christians these days, they're coming out of the world and they have a sharp spike, and then they fit in with everybody around, and then they just plateau. I look like everybody. I talk like everybody. And the thing that helped them grow so much, they've given up on. Their Bible reading, their prayer time, a devotion and truly seeking after the heart of God. And that just has become absent. A mature Christian, number one, is sensitive to God's revealed will. Number two, has a functional godliness. But number three, continues to grow spiritually. Daily growing in the knowledge of our Lord. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. That's what he says. Acts chapter 2 and verse chapter 2 and chapter 3, they met daily in the temple, teaching and preaching, daily in prayer. The church of Thessalonica searched the scriptures daily in Acts chapter 17. Every situation in life is an opportunity to know God and his word better. So let me ask you this question. If we're to increase in knowledge, man, a great student. I'll tell you what a great student is. Again, we've had a Christian school since 2004. I started working at the school in 2006. So that's been a while. I've seen a lot of students. I'll tell you the best students. The smart ones? No. The teachable ones. You want to know the best Christians? The teachable ones. The humble ones. The ones that say, God, I don't know everything. You know what that is? That's a mature Christian. You tell a 10-year-old anything or an 8-year-old anything, they know it all. That's evidence of immaturity, not maturity. You open up the Word of God after being saved for a number of years and say, God, I need something afresh today. You know what that is? That's maturity. And when you make decisions like that, when you're teachable like that, you will soon see wisdom replace foolishness. You will see courage of faith replacing doubt and fear. You'll see thankfulness replacing selfishness and discontent. You'll see the fear of the Lord replacing the opinions and acceptance of others. You'll grow spiritually. Be careful not to plateau in your faith. Be careful that you not say, all right, I've gone far enough. This is as far as I'll go. Sensitivity, God's revealed will, functional godliness, a spiritual growth. Again, a teachable and humble spirit. In Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. A perseverance. An acknowledgement of weakness in which God's strength is made perfect. I'll hold your hand here. We'll come back to this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You're probably familiar with the verse, but I'd like to read it again to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's go back to Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all might. A mature Christian knows their limitations and their weaknesses and depends on the strength of the Lord. There's two words in the middle of this verse that scare me. The strength of God is needed for patience and long suffering. The circumstances that cause the need for patience and long suffering frighten me. Because I like comfort. I like easy. I don't like drama. I want things simple. God says, you're going to need my strength. Say, for what? The things that are going to make you have to live in patience and long suffering without bitterness. Look at what it says. With joyfulness. What does a mature Christian look like? Some perseverance. A mature Christian, again, acknowledges their weakness and it's God's strength that they are made perfect. They won't give up. They won't run away. They won't quit in the face of trouble. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do you demonstrate perseverance? Do you appreciate... Fifthly, we have six. Fifthly, appreciate God's grace. Colossians chapter number 1. A mature Christian will appreciate God's grace. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you appreciate what God has done for you? No, I deserve that. Oh, no, you do not. What a privilege it is to be born into the family of God and of faith. To be surrounded by godly examples all our life. I can go back to when I first got saved. There were some godly men that loved the Lord and made sacrifices for the church and for young men like me that didn't have a dad in the service. And it was just my single mom. And there were some men that helped out and taught us some things. All my life I've been surrounded by godly examples. And so have you. Giving thanks unto God to be partakers in His inheritance. Look at what He got us into. Don't take for granted what should be highly praised. Don't take for granted what should be highly praised. Giving thanks unto I'm just over this salvation thing. What? Have you forgotten what God has done for you? A mature Christian appreciates God's grace. Oh, that's sappy. No, that's maturity. The little people, they run up and down these halls. Hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I see them in there in the kitchen opening up bags of chips. And I'm like, oh, sweet Moses, this ain't going to go good. I don't know. Do we come in and out of this building bumping shoulders with some of the greatest people that have walked the face of the earth that love the Lord? Nah, it's just another church night. You've lost your appreciation for God's grace. That's destructive and dangerous. Lastly, Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says He took us from darkness, the power of darkness. Not to scare you, but the path of sin is pretty scary. And there's a power that is associated with sin. And He delivered us from that power. And He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I know we get a little nervous when we start talking about kingdoms. And I get it. I understand. But is there a kingdom awareness? Say, what does that mean? Hold your hand here. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. Hey, we've been brought from a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom that we're about now. Hey, we were servants and slaves to sin, but now we're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a new king that represents a new kingdom, and we're all about it. It's an eternal one. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's exactly what He did. He translated us. Snatched us out of the power of darkness. He broke a chain I couldn't break on my own. So how did He do it? Through His blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that that power has been broken. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that you're part of a new kingdom? Now, at the beginning of this message, I said, don't get discouraged. Maybe today a seed was sown. Something was started. Maybe recently you've started on a path. Well, we have some goals, don't we? To be sensitive to God's revealed will. Do not go against God's will. If I could preach something to you, find out what God likes and obey it. It'll make for the best life. You don't know better. I'm just helping you. Sensitivity to God's revealed will. Number two, a functional godliness. Number three, spiritual growth. Number four, a perseverance. Don't quit. Don't give up. Appreciate God's grace. Be aware of the kingdom. Our lives belong to Him. His will is our duty. His glory is our goal. We live for Him. And all of this is a prayer. For this cause, we also, since we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. To do these things. Paul knew what it would take for a church to grow. He knew what it would take for a group of Christians to grow. And he said, here's what I'm praying for you. Well, if it was good for the church, if you look at Ephesians, there's a passage very similar to this. He says about the same thing. I think it's in chapter 1. Yeah, verse 15 through 18, 19. If you read that, he tells the church of Ephesus a very similar thing. Hey, get a hold of these things. These things are important. Can I tell you, as Christians these days, unfortunately, these are the least important things. We're more concerned about sound, and we're more concerned about the latest, and am I comfortable, and is the air conditioning, and we're least concerned about being sensitive to God's will, living godly, growing spiritually. I'm not saying those other things aren't good and beneficial, but if you want to be mature, get a hold of these things. Let's all stand tonight. A prayer for Christian maturity. So I don't know where I'm going. Man, that's frustrating, isn't it? If you're ever lost, that's a frustrating feeling. I don't like that feeling. I like to know where I'm going. I'm crazy about it. I constantly check on it. How about spiritually? You get content with not knowing where you're going, you're going to be off track real quick. Hey, set a goal card. What is it? These things right here. Take those things and try and apply them to your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, there are some tough things in there. And God, by your grace, we need your help. By your power. Lord, mighty can you do those things. Lord, you can take weak individuals and do amazing things if we make ourselves available to you. Lord, help us with that. Lord, you can work a great work. Lord, help us to be yielded to you. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to walk in faith. Lord, thank you for these dear, sweet people. Such good examples to me. Lord, I'm sure they have areas where they can improve too. And Lord, help us all. Help us to be encouragement one to another. Lord, we love you. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.